Backseat Box Office, episode number 77 for the weekend of March 9th through the 11th, 2012. Hey, this is Tony.
Hey, this is Andrew.
This is Jonathan.
We are the Backseat Producers. And this is Backseat Box Office.
And if this is your first time listening to Backseat Box Office, this is where we look at the movies each week that are coming out and try to predict in order the top five in terms of most box office to least.
Yeah, and in theory, I would have posted the scores by now, but things got a little crazy this week, so that hasn't happened yet. Hopefully, by the time this episode actually drops, the scores from last weekend will be posted. I can say that there were 225s.
Woo! I know who they are, though, so boo.
Yeah. And there was like 9 23s. It's crazy. A couple of 24s. The lowest score this week was an 18.
It was a good week then.
It was a much better week than we've had recently. We've had some pretty down weeks as far as the scores have gone. And this week was a better. I want to say that the average was something like it was over 22 was the average. So, very nice. Wow. Even that William guy got a 24.
Go William guy.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah.
So, if you're a first-time listener in all this talk of scores, I'm not going to go into it here, but if you go to thebackseatproducers.com, there's a little tab up in the top line that says BSBO scoring. Click there. Tony's read the whole thing about how it's scored and how you lose points and whatnot, and it's great. So go check that out. I figure it's been 20 episodes since we said that last, so I should probably work it in.
That's true.
It should be an all-inclusive for the new listeners.
Yeah, and for new listeners, basically, 25 is...
How dare you pretend this isn't just one, you know, giant in-joke.
One giant incestuous podcast, which it's also that, but we try every now and then to invite newcomers in to, you know, spice things up.
That's true. That's true. Get a little strange. Yeah, so the long and the short of it is best score is a 25. If you got a 25, perfect score for the weekend. Two people got that, one of them being Lena, the other being moi.
Well, boo, Lena, yeah. Great job. Tony, boo.
The hosts, the other hosts, you guys, got 23s this week. Well Woo! Done, gentlemen. And a whole slew of other people got a 23 as well. So I'm not going to go through that because you know what? William does the results show. He's already handled it. It's already all there. You can go listen. You can find out what everyone scored, what the leaderboard looks like. It's all there. And since you guys were tied last week, you guys picked the same things. Guess what? You're still tied.
Yeah, shocking.
And guess who's still on top?
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Riding it for all it's worth.
Guess who didn't catch up, you know, guess who fell further behind Tony?
Us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So here's how everything, my job at this point is to tell y'all what the top five grossing movies were from this past weekend. So at number one, surprise to none, Dr. Seuss's The Lorax opened at $70.2 million on Dr. Seuss's the anniversary of his birthday, which I think is why I finally figured out why it's opening in early March.
That makes sense. Yeah, I didn't even think that it was his birthday weekend.
I didn't realize it until Friday when my son came home from school and we were reading a book and I mentioned something about The Lorax and going to see it, and he's like, oh yeah, it's Dr. Seuss's birthday today. I'm like, really? Where were you yesterday when we were recording a podcast, son? Help your old man out.
Well, to you be know, fair, I want to say Despicable Me opened at the same time last year as well, so
It may be.
They probably fudged it a bit to get it on to Dr. Seuss's birthday, but I don't think that that's necessarily the only reason why they...
Perhaps not.
Chucked it.
Perhaps not.
Yeah, I'll admit, I actually underestimated The Lorax. I figured it would come in closer to like 40 million.
To quote,
yeah.
Man.
I just listened to the episode, and you had said 40 to 50. I had said it was going to make 50 easy. I don't think Jonathan gave an estimate.
Yeah, and it just nuked everything.
Yeah.
And for what it's worth, Despicable Me did not come out in March of last.
Was it early May?
It was July. However, Gnomeo, and it was also of 2010. Gnomeo and Juliet, Rango, let's see here, Alice in Wonderland, How to Train Your Dragon. These were all March releases. So.
How to Train Your Dragon was a March release?
Yeah, that, I seem to remember that.
Huh.
That's a good movie.
Who's eating candy bars?
Sorry about that.
I was going to say, what is that?
It's actually a Thin Mint.
Oh,
Your mic is too good to allow you to sneak in candy during the episode.
I know.
Unless you click that mute button on your Skype panel, and then you're all good.
That's true.
So at number two, we had Project X debuting with its midget crotch-punching comedy. Mm. It opened with $21 million. Act of Valor, which I think I've been heard it has real Navy SEALs in it. It fell to number three. That's some crazy rumor I heard. I don't know. It was the internet. Could be wrong.
Why have fire, too? I understand.
Heard that on a podcast
it.
Left.
Stop it.
Real bullets.
But this
and
latest,
real Navy SEALs.
But this latest movie...
Ooh, Navy SEALs.
All right, I'll wait. You guys finish up there.
Jonathan knows what I'm talking about. That's from Clerks, by the way.
Okay. So at number three, we had Act of Valor from Relativity. It brought in $13.5 million.
Wait, who starred in Act of Valor?
0.5%. Wasn't that Charlie Sheen?
Ooh,
Bill Paxton,
Navy SEALs.
No, that was Pineapple Express. No, wait. That was a stoner movie.
No. Tropic Thunder.
I've seen none of these movies, so all these references are way above my head. I've got nothing to contribute. Except dogmatically just putting my head down and trying to get through these last two movies.
Woo, Navy SEAL.
You never do a real Navy SEAL. You gotta pull it. You gotta do it about half. You gotta pull it back.
Oh.
So number four, we had Safe House with $7.3 million. At number five, we had Tyler Perry's Good Deeds with $7 million as well. Done.
Hey, did you guys notice the estimates on Friday?
Sure did. You weren't going to get a 25.
I was, because did you see the order placed it in sixth, but if you looked at the numbering, it was actually numbered fifth. The fifth and sixth place had the exact same dollar amount as an estimate on Friday.
I did notice.
Yeah. It was exactly the same. That was pretty cool. You don't see that often.
No.
That's all I was gonna say.
No. Go back to
No, that's all.
It'll entertain people.
That was it. I'm literally done with that. Alright, so we've got three new movies coming out this week.
Whoa.
I guess we have to talk about how we did.
Easy there, Cowboy.
Sorry.
Just talk about how we did.
Ahead. Well, you just read my picks, so.
It's like the half Monty. We got to get a little deeper.
And done.
So, how'd you guys pick?
Well, I'll do it, Jonathan.
Because it's so the same since Jonathan dittoed.
That's right.
Jonathan, hey.
There's a long tradition of...
I got dittoed last weekend, and so did Andrew.
Yeah, your dittoing turned out a little better than my dittoing.
Truth.
Can't help it, you're on top.
I'm going to leave that alone. So, yeah, Jonathan and I had the first three movies.
Jonathan's dittoing from the bottom.
We hit the first three exactly right. Then we had a slight mistake, because we also had five exactly right, but we both... put Journey to the Mysterious Island at number four. It was really number six. That cost us our 2 points and gave us 23 points for the weekend. Now let's talk about those three new movies. Jonathan.
What?
What do you like coming out this weekend?
I'm a big fan of Eddie Murphy. Why don't you tell me about the movie he's releasing?
You mean Eddie Murphy's new movie that's coming out this weekend that can only loosely, I think, be considered any type of contender to break into the top five?
Ooh, man.
Exactly. What is it?
Well, it's called 1,000 Words.
I think you're also being generous calling it a new movie. This movie was this movie was shot in 2008.
That would explain why he looks so young in it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's just Photoshop.
Probably.
And it's only opening in 18... Well, I've got 1,890 theaters down for its theater account currently.
Yeah, it's...
That's wide release.
It's wide release, but it's probably not top five material. Maybe it's
also an Eddie Murphy movie. And those haven't exactly been symbols of success lately.
No. And to be honest, I had not heard that this movie was coming out until I went to look up to make sure that I hadn't missed movies that were coming out this weekend. And it was like, oh, I didn't know that movie was coming out. Wow, Eddie Murphy's in that movie? What's this about? Yeah, that was like 2 hours ago. That's when I learned this movie was coming out this weekend.
Well, the plot is a little bit unique, as I'm sure... You know, Jonathan, being a big Eddie Murphy fan, probably already knows all about it. But it's basically he learns that he only has 1,000 words left to speak before he dies. I don't know what medicine they're going to use to justify this disease, but anyway, he becomes much more careful about what he says because, you know, personally, I would stop talking altogether if I was going to die in 1,000 words. I would stop doing this podcast for starters and then tell everybody I'd just been struck mute and couldn't talk.
That's fair.
I would start writing everything. I mean, how hard is that?
Hey,
yeah.
I would staple my lips shut.
I would hire someone to suture them together.
Bam. So not only would you live longer, but you could be a living horror movie monster.
So what you're telling me is neither of you have any self-control.
No. I have been a podcaster for 6 years. Do you think I can control how much my mouth runs?
You're right. You'd be dead in an hour.
Come on. Come on, Jonathan. I'm just being real here.
Tony would have died during the pre-show, for God's sake.
Stapling isn't going to be enough.
Mm.
You're going to need your larynx removed.
Okay.
I might talk in my sleep. I can't take that risk.
Yeah.
Well, now, hang on a second. Are these just 1,000 random words, or... 1,000, like, if you just make guttural noises, does that count?
No, I think it has to be actual words, but...
If I go, mm-hmm, that conveys meaning and is essentially a word, but...
I think you're okay on that one. Mm. But you know, this little blurb, the 3-sentence blurb I'm looking at for the plot synopsis, doesn't really get into that type of detail. But,
I mean, because, like, you could have a whole conversation just kind of mumbled and muttered.
When I was in college, I once, as a class project, spent a week not talking.
That's awesome.
It's not hard. You can get along. It's like, yeah, I mean, I didn't have anything special.
Not that difficult.
We had to do it for scouts, for Order of the Arrow. We had to go 24 hours. The only time you could talk was when you were spoken to.
So
we could, but we just had to answer.
That just
sounds like you just need a third party to start a conversation with you, and then you just include the other people. You're good.
I handled it by carrying a composition book with me and not going through drive-thrus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
And, of course, I was a college kid. It's not like I didn't have a job. I didn't have to talk to anyone as a living. You know, I had to go to class through these giant 400-guy lecture halls where I wasn't really... Really, it was my responsibility to talk anyway, just sit there quietly and take notes every day. So, you know, I wasn't dating anyone at the time. Turns out I lived right out of society real easy back then. Who am I kidding? I still lift out real easy.
You know, actually, come to think of it, my personality is such that I'd probably start counting.
You carry one of those little, like, things that you use to clock people in at the auditoriums? It's just every time you sit where you just start clicking it?
No. Like, I would literally... You have 1,000 words to say before you die. I would start counting and see if they were right.
Oh, crap, I only got to 995. Somebody cheated me out of five words. WTF.
This sounds like, really? What? This sounds like a terrible movie plot. Why are you... Are you sure you're a medical doctor? And how many words have I just spoken so that I can figure out how much longer I have to go?
28. It sounds like a horribly... It sounds almost like Twitter. You know how those people, like, sometimes like talk about how they're so good at writing only 140 characters without having to, like, fudge or anything? Yeah. Well, A, screw those people. And B, this sounds like
hey,
something
I'm
perfect
one of those
for
people.
Them. Well, everyone except for Sean.
I just don't talk about it. I'm dead.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. So it sounds like the ultimate... You have to get in under this number of words.
Oh, go. I'm disappointed. I went to Rotten Tomatoes, and the first three words I saw on it were "Fox exposes herself," and then.
As in Megan Fox?
Yeah. Then it wasn't actually anything.
Oh, were they using "exposed" in a different sense of the
word? Yes.
Exposes herself as a fan of Lord of the Rings and something else.
Ninja Turtles.
That seems deceptive.
Yes, it is.
There's probably some newsroom editor that came up with that. Thought he was being clever.
Jack's life comes unglued after a magical Bodhi tree mysteriously appears in his backyard. With every word Jack speaks, a leaf falls from the tree. And he realizes, somehow, that when the last leaf falls, both he and the tree are toast. That's terrible.
That does sound terrible.
Not only, like, really? You're going to rate the imagery of a Bodhi tree like that?
Well, and I don't know about you guys, but what I find most engaging about Eddie Murphy is when he's talking.
Mm-hmm.
Like Beverly Hills Cop, let's say. So the idea that he can only say less than 1,000 words in this movie seems kind of not good.
Yes, I agree. Next, we have a movie with an Olsen in it, but it's not one of the twins.
No, it's a cousin, I think.
Younger sister.
Oh, there you go. Elizabeth Olsen.
Yes.
There aren't any other Olsens.
I thought I saw something that was her younger sister. I could be wrong about that.
It's not true.
What?
Do you know a lot about the Olsens?
They're twins. That's all there is to it.
Jonathan wrote a paper about him in college.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, look at this girl. She looks like she is a sister. There's no way. Yeah. Bio, the sister of the famous twins, Ashley and Mary-Kate Olsen. There it is, right there on Rotten Tomatoes.
Why? What, you trust Rotten Tomatoes over me?
Yes.
Yes.
Truth be told, yes.
It's hilarious that there is, I know that for a second there, you all believed me.
No, because I knew I read that earlier. I was like, wait a minute.
You doubted it, though.
Well, because I didn't have the black and white in front of me, now I do.
I don't think I did.
I heard it. Moving on.
Jonathan, you've changed, man. You've changed. So Silent House. It's about a family returning to their summer house after it had been taken over by squatters. Yeah, that's always a good plan. However, a malevolent presence remained, or malevolent even, behind. So it's an English remake of a Uruguayan film, La Casa Muda. It's directed by Chris Quintas and Laura Lau. That's all I got.
Yeah, this, it looks like another low-budget horror movie.
With a semi-famous star.
Yeah.
Apparently it is a real-time movie, though, so.
Oh, that's better?
I don't know what that means.
It means that Elizabeth Olsen doesn't poop for 2 hours, because otherwise you'd have to watch her go to the bathroom.
Hey, you keep your fetishes out of this, Jonathan.
Real-time movie. So the movie takes place in 2 hours. So the plot takes place in 2 hours, in the same 2 hours that the movie does.
Hour and 28 minutes.
Whatever.
It's only an hour and 28 minutes long?
Correct.
That is a short movie.
Yes. Considering probably five of that is credits.
Just five?
Well, five would be the closing credits. Probably three or four more for the upfront credits, depending on how they did it.
And then there's John Carter, which BD says everybody needs to go see.
John Carter, yeah, that's the movie about the movie about the guy who started as an intern in ER and eventually ended up being like the head doctor and then leaving and going to Africa.
Yes.
Different Carter.
No.
Oh, it was John Carter. That was his name. It was John Carter. No. Noah I'm Wiley.
Sure was, yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure his name's Noah Wiley.
Reimagining. But. No, that no, it was... No, Noah Wiley was the actor playing John Carter in ER.
Right, but this is about a real guy.
This is a reimagining. This is a reimagining of that.
This is a biopic.
No, this is exactly the story of that. There are six-armed...
Africans? This is what happens after he goes to Africa.
Yeah.
I don't think so. This is what happened during the Civil War. This guy got transported to the planet Mars, where he encountered advanced civilization, fights ugly green monsters, and falls in love. I mean,
what are you calling
don't
ugly?
You just know your history?
Man, you were a speciesist, aren't you?
Yeah,
that's what I heard.
I will claim that, absolutely.
I don't know why I associate with you.
I am a speciesist. And once that other species, sentient species, shows up to disagree with me, I will talk to them about it and admit my shortcomings.
Just sneeze on them. It's all good. H.G. Wells taught us that.
That's right. Well, and this is actually based on the Edgar Rice
book. I'm pretty sure the conquistadors taught us that. I mean...
that's true.
Yeah. 16th of me now is enraged by your joke, but I'll keep that part in check.
That's not a joke. That's history. That's kind of what happened. Saying.
So, Tony.
Yes.
Tell us what you're picking.
I had a lot of trouble with my picks, but I have picks. I want John Carter to do really well. It's got a lot potentially going for it. But I'm going to have to give it to The Lorax for this week. I think it's just going to hold on to more of its audience. It's still kicking ass pretty well in the dailies. So, yeah, I'm going to stick with Lorax for number one. John Carter of Mars, or John Carter, or whatever the hell they're calling this movie. I think they're just calling it John Carter, which is poorly formed. I think that is mistake number one. But
actually, I read an article on that.
Is there some kind of
problem with the naming? They did market tests, and people were turned off when they had the of Mars in there. Which is like, so by removing it, you've now removed any idea what this movie could possibly be about. But I don't know. The director guy is, I forget what his name is. He's one of the
Andrew Stanton.
Yeah. And so he's like, he did say that he had very little executive interference on this movie, and that they, I don't know. He said that they did market tests and the name was actively turning people off. So he agreed to remove it from the name just because. In his words, the numbers, you can't make up numbers like that. So
that's, hey, you know what? If it gets more people to go see it and accept it and gives us more of these movies, I'm fine with that because it looks very cool.
I don't think the Mars thing adds anything to the movie. I mean, you look at the preview, dude's on an alien planet, human being, stranger in strange land, becomes, you know, a war hero and is loved by the common folk. I don't need to know it's on Mars.
Hey, this is just a ripoff of Avatar.
Yeah, I mean, Avatar, you don't know, you have no idea what planet that's on. That doesn't matter if it was on Saturn or if it was on some distant galaxy.
This is a ripoff of Avatar, clearly.
Because Edgar Rice Burroughs just wrote his books after Avatar came out.
But that's the other thing is, I think if you have, I don't know, if when I hear John Carter of Mars, I immediately associate that with pulp sci-fi, you know, Burroughs, all that other stuff. Like that I can understand how people could, like, at least fanboys and you know, geeks could be like, well, put the of Mars back in there because that is evocative of what the story and the history is for it.
Right.
But at the same time, for some people, that might turn them off. And apparently there was also the association with Mars Needs Moms, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Seems
kind of weak, but...
I mean, the fanboys are going to complain about, oh, there's no of Mars, and they're going to go watch the movie.
Well, yeah, and let's face facts, I'm pretty damn sick of most of our culture at this point, so...
Yeah, you know what? our fanboy culture represents such a small part of the movie-going audience that we don't matter.
Yep, because we're going to see it anyway. We'll complain, and we'll still go see the movie. They need to appeal to the mainstream audience who has no idea who Edgar Rice Burroughs is.
All right,
we'll complain,
so,
but we'll buy Star Wars for the sixth time.
Yeah, so about a week ago, I saw somebody tweet, and then it get retweeted, can you imagine what would have happened to Firefly if Kickstarter were around when it got canceled?
Not much.
Nothing. Nothing would have happened because nobody was watching it. No one knew it existed. And, I mean...
Nobody knew about it until long after it was canceled.
Yeah.
Done. Move on.
I get went...
over yourself.
Exactly.
And get a life.
I went to... I went to the opening night of Serenity, which premiered in late September, early October, because they centered it, because it's like a high holy day in the Whedonverse is like the end of September, because I guess that's his birthday. So that's when they scheduled the film release. It released on Archon Friday. We went to Archon on Saturday. That was the first time I had gone to Archon, and nobody knew about that movie. Nobody. I was actively trying to find people to talk with about the movie and the TV show, and nobody knew what I was talking about. It's like, the idea that this was some great cultural mecca that was dashed, stolen away from us, is completely stupid. And I'm done with my rant now.
Dude, I don't know where you're living. I mean... In my biosphere, I mean, I can think of at least 40 people who were watching it when it was on Fox and talking to each other about what night it was going to be on, which channel.
Because they
kept flipping around on when it was out, and they played them out of order. And
I watched. You know what? I watched every episode as it aired, even when they changed night. They didn't change nights; they changed times. I watched every, and then toward the end they changed nights, but I watched every episode as it aired. I was the only one that I knew that was watching it. When I went and saw it in the theater, I was one of about 20 people in the theater on opening night. So, yeah, it wasn't that big a deal. Not as big as made it out to be. Have made it out to be since it was canceled, since it came out on DVD, and since the movie disappeared from the theater quickly.
I mean, I know it was a big deal down here. I mean, I had regular people who weren't in any way involved in geek culture who were going to see that movie. And I didn't see opening night, so I can't comment on whether the theaters here were full or empty. But I saw it about 3 weeks I was out, and the theater was still about half full.
Anyway.
Silent House, number 3. Project X at number 4, and Act of Valor at number 5. So
did...
Again, Lorax at number 1, John Carter at number 2, Silent House at number 3, Project X in 4th, and Act of Valor in 5th this weekend.
So you just did a Box Office Mojo.
That's what I was going to say.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
Okay, then I dittoed Box Office Mojo.
All right, well, I'm going slightly differently. I agree, though, that the Lorax is got all the chance of beating out John Carter of Mars. There's still not another kids movie really out to compete with it. It made $70 million. I don't think it's going to drop that much. So I'm going to keep the Lorax number 1. I'm going to put John Carter at number 2. I, unlike you, do not think Silent House is going to open that well. I'm going to put Project X at number 3. I'm going to put Silent House at... See, I'm worried that Silent House is going to completely bomb. It's an hour and a half long. I'm worried about it. But however, 1,000 words is crap. I think it's going to do even worse. So I'll put Act of Valor at number 4, Silent House at number 5.
Oh, thank goodness.
Oh.
No dittoing?
Like, I wrote down my damn list this week. So I agree with Lorax. I mean, Lorax, John Carter, and then I'm going to put Project X, and then I'll give Silent House the benefit of the doubt, at least for it to pull close to 10. I figure it's going to be close between Project X and Silent House, if assuming it doesn't just bomb. But I mean, the horror movie aficionados out there seem to show up regardless of whether the movie's any good. So
yep.
And there's not really another one, you know, there's nothing else to claim them at the moment. So that's the reason why I'm figuring it can do decent, but I don't know. I just wanted to be different. So I put Project X at 3, Silent House at 4, and then Act of Valor at 5.
All right.
There you go.
Anyone from the chat room? Because Becca and Lena are in the chat room. But I don't think Becca's going to be giving picks. Because Becca doesn't give picks.
Not cool, Becca.
Becca could. Not Becca cool. could give
Becca picks. Could give picks. And she says she could.
Becca could just pick which one she wants to bid on, even.
True.
I mean, surely three professionals like ourselves, surely we're not going to bomb.
That never happens.
Never. Oh, and Becca, I really like the shoes you put together for the peanut there.
Yes, those are awesome. All right. So unless we get some picks here in the next few seconds, Andrew, what do you think of Mass Effect 3?
Mass Effect 3, so regrettably, work's been busy. I picked it up the night it came out,
mm-hmm.
played for an hour or so, and have not had a chance to get back to it. However, based on that initial hour, my review is, oh my god, I love it so much.
Yes. I concur. Are you still on Mars, or have you gotten off of Mars yet?
No, I'm not off Mars yet.
Okay.
I am involved in Mars, and I've hooked up with a certain blue-skinned lady, or androgynous being at any rate. I am still on Mars, and I'm hoping, actually, to finish up with this and get some more time in. What are you thinking about it?
I'm enjoying it. At first, I wasn't too sure about the Kinect thing, and some of it is still a little novel, but some of it is awesome.
So what's the best part about the Kinect?
The best part about the Kinect is it's the combat. That you can issue commands during combat. You're undercover, you're shooting your sniper rifle, you've got your, and they've changed the health system slightly. So you've got your one bar, your couple bars down on your health, and you can't heal up fully unless you do first aid, which they used to call Unity. So right. you can't heal up completely unless you do that. You just say first aid and it takes care of it for you. You don't have to drill through the menus and find it. Cryoblast, just say it out loud. So you've taken a couple of shots with your sniper rifle and you're getting advanced on because it's early in the game and you only have that sniper rifle that can only pump off one shot at a time before it has to reload. You take a shot, and then just say, submachine gun, and he switches out weapons. Pistol!
Did you see the Penny Arcade strip about the Mass Effect 3 voice commands?
No, I have not.
It's like this picture of Garrus shaving a cat, and you know, Shepard's like yelling at Garrus, going, I said, no, I said attack!
Yeah. Yeah, I have not had any problems with it at all, except for forgetting my companions' names. Which one's with me right now? And I kept saying the wrong name. Yeah, I kept saying the wrong name. I was like, oh, that's not her name. Once I got that down, I mean, the hardest part is remembering the names and the actual names of the powers. Because you can say, like, Caden, barrier, and he'll throw up a barrier.
I'm afraid I can't say that because Caden died in Mass Effect 1. I don't know if you got that message or not. He was sacrificed so that we could. Anyway, go on.
My Caden is still alive. But you can. Yeah, you can. You say the name of the character and then their power, and they just do it, which is kind of nice. It's taking a little getting used to, just because I mainlined Mass Effect 2 because Holden was sick on Tuesday, and I knew Mass Effect 3 had been shipped from Amazon on Monday, and I knew I was getting it on Tuesday, and Holden was sick. So I mainlined the end of Mass Effect 2 on Tuesday.
I was going to say on Tuesday, because, you know, that was the first day, you know, came out on Tuesday or midnight at any rate. And so throughout the day I had to work, but throughout the day, though, I checked my Rapture app to see what everybody on my Xbox friends list was playing. And every time I checked, there was Tony Mass playing Mass Effect 2 and Joe Selby playing Mass Effect 3. I was like, Jesus, Tony's been playing for like 9 hours now. He's got to be getting close to the end at this point.
Yeah, basically, I was going around and finishing everything. Because I heard it's really important that you finish all your side missions to get everybody's loyalty up for the end game. Yeah, for the end game. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to do that. And I had like four of them left. So I did that. And then I started like exploring random planets and found like two whole missions that never popped. I just like ran across them. It's like I went to a planet because I needed some more Element Zero to level up my upgrades. And all of a sudden it was like, anomaly has been detected. I didn't know there was anything there, and it turns out I found like some mercenary base that led me. I solved that one, and I ended up going to like three other planets scattered across the galaxy, finishing that mission too. But it was great. Yeah,
there's at least five of those in the game in Mass Effect 2 where you just, you know, roll onto a planet and start scanning it, and you suddenly find something the only way to find it is just to wander in and start scanning.
Yeah, I found about three of them, then got to a point where it was like, I am just delaying the end game at this point. So I just went for it.
So, now, Jonathan, you played Mass Effect 1 and 2, right?
Nope.
Just one?
Just one.
And so what turned you off from 2?
Nothing. I just never had the time.
You play a what's the word? Crap ton of games, so I understand.
Yeah, that's actually the problem, is I feel like I have this feeling like I have to keep playing new stuff and keeping up on the new games and, you know, moving forward, and thus taking the time to sit back and play BioShock or Mass Effect 2 or any of those is like, so.
Now, I know on your other podcast, Way of the Game, over at thewayofthegame.com, I know Sam is in for Mass Effect 3, but Alex, he doesn't seem to have any interest. Is that true?
As far as I can tell, yeah.
Too busy killing juice packs in Syndicate.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
He's a terrible human being.
I'm really excited, actually, because Alex and I share a love of turn-based strategy games, and I was reading details from GDC about the Mech Warrior Tactics game that's being released this year.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, I bet I can get Alex into that. it's a browser game, and it's free to play. Oh, I bet I can get Alex into that.
Ooh, I might be down for that.
There's both of the... So, this is a complete aside. I'm a huge MechWarrior fan from my youth, and there's two games that are supposed to be released in 2012. One of them is a free-to-play first-person shooter called MechWarrior Online, and they had some a trailer just came out in the last week, and they had some screenshots at GDC, and there's a lot of reviews right now from like IGN and whatnot about it. It's going to be basically 12-on-12 battles, and you know, there's, I'm not going to go into details, but there's different levels of combat that they're trying to stress in it. Both role and you know, actually mech-to-mech combat and community combat. But the one I'm almost more excited about is the turn-based tactical browser game. Because it's the traditional hex map. You're moving your guys around. It's a persistent universe. And there's some freemium. Mm-hmm. Is that the right word,
yes.
Jonathan?
That would be the word.
So there's freemium things I think is their revenue model there. But I guess after you click your turn, it goes to cinematic mode and shows, you know, all your mechs doing all their crazy stuff that they're doing that you just order them to do each turn. So, and it supports asynchronous play, which for me these days is huge.
That's awesome.
Oh, and speaking of asynchronous play, I would just like to give an official congratulations to the winner of the first round, first ever Backseat Box Office Access and Allies tournament. The victory went to the Allies, which consisted of the Holmberg, myself, and Uriah. So
congratulations, woo! Guys. You did well.
Currently, the second round is ongoing, and things are not looking quite as good for me.
It's interesting.
It's mostly just as good for the Allies this turnaround.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
though, Rich.
Two of the previous Allies are not.
Rich is in a tenuous position.
Rich is holding Russia, and honestly, about two turns ago, by the maths, again, the maths proved themselves not to be a friend of the Holmberg. The maths said Jonathan should have taken Russia and put Rich out of the game, but he was denied. And even Rich, in his commentary, said, "Man, you probably should have won that." on the Twitter. So,
all right. So, yeah. Getting back to what we're supposed to be doing here for just a moment.
Whoa, no
Lena! Lena did give us her picks. She's dittoing me again.
Well, so good the first time. Hey, why not come back for seconds?
Hey, she chose well last time.
She chose right. I don't know if she chose well.
That's fair.
All right. Well, I say we stick a fork in this thing, call it done, and until next week, you know, we'll see you in the back seat.
See ya.
Later.